Good morning, and it's good to be able to come together this morning. It's good to see Rodney. It's good to be able to come out and worship God this morning, and I appreciate the presence of everyone. If you look at what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, if you look closely at verse 14, you read about the day of prosperity and the day of adversity. God hath made both, one side by side. Look at that carefully. We're familiar in the Bible with examples of prosperity and adversity. We're familiar even in today's time of people who go through adverse conditions. I think about those thousands of people in Syria at this very moment. They've been displaced from their home and they're living in dusty, dirty conditions out in tents. We don't even have to go through any of that in our life. And there are people in adverse conditions around the world. And then there are those like ourselves who I believe are very prosperous. But God has made both of those. Through His providence, God can give us either adversity or He can give us prosperity. And Solomon says in verse 13, consider that both are the work of God. Both can be used by God to help us. And in both situations, we are to be faithful to God. I got to thinking about this matter of prosperity and adversity in our relationship and in our service to God. And I think a lot of times we talk about examples of adversity and how the devil can use adversity in one's life to get them away from God. But have you ever thought about the fact that God, in serving God, the devil can use prosperity? He can use prosperity to get us to fall away from God as well. And so this morning I want to look at this expression, the day of prosperity, and how the devil can really use both. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30, I want us to consider how the devil can use these different situations. We know about the story of Job. We know how the devil tries to use adversity to get someone to fall away from God. And so he takes many things away from Job. We're familiar with the story of Job. But what about the matter of prosperity? Can the devil use prosperity to do the same? And he can, and the scripture tells us he can. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, the words of Agur here, the wise man, he doesn't want one or the other because both can be a potential problem. We think about Job and how the devil can use adversity, but what about the rich young ruler? What about someone who's doing fine and then he just walked away from Jesus? He didn't want to obey. The devil can use both. And look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Two things have I asked of thee, deny me not before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lies. That's the first one. I don't want to be someone who's dishonest and a liar. And we see a lot of that today. And then the second thing he asked for is, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full. Here's the prosperity problem. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is Jehovah? I have so much that I don't need God. I'm self-sufficient. Or the matter of poverty or adversity. Or lest I be poor and steal and use profanely the name of my God. Begin to curse God for the bad things that He's given me. I want to stay away from both of those extremes, because both of those extremes have the potential of leading us away from God. I think because of who we are as Americans, I think right now, at least in our lives, the problem is not adversity, the problem is prosperity. I didn't realize this until looking at it, but as of just a couple of years ago, in 2012, 2013, the average household income in the United States was a little over $50,000. The average household income. That is a lot of money when you consider the world situation. Consider how much we really have. Take an inventory of the physical things that we have at home. Some of us have multiple electronic devices, different phones. People have their own phones. Not only do we have a car, but in some cases we have multiple cars. We might have more than one home. We might have multiples of things that many people don't even have one of. We have multiples of. We have TVs and large TVs and really nice resolution and that type of thing. Computers. Consider how much we really have. Even with others in America and especially around the world. Our brethren in other places around the world at this very moment have outdoor restroom facilities. At this very moment, they are living in homes that would be less than ideal from what we would like. No heating, no air conditioning. Unless their situation has changed, Nathan and Diane Cahigas, they have a home. It is right next to the church building, and all of that is right next to a swamp. And literally, the water comes in the back of their house. Unless they've changed that, and maybe they have. Snakes get in. Other kinds of creatures get in. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can look out through the cracks in the walls, and the wall doesn't quite meet the concrete and all of that. There's a lot of things going on there. That's our brethren. Consider how much we really have. And I want us to consider this morning how the devil can use the day of prosperity, if we're not careful, to get us to fall away from God. How rich we really are. I was reading something recently where some individuals in America were making $1 million to $5 million a year, and they did not consider themselves as rich. Because there were people out there making multiple millions or billions of dollars, and they said, well, we're not rich at a $1 million. That's not us. I wonder sometimes if we're in denial. If we read rich passages in the Bible about riches, we might even say, well, that's not me, when I believe it is. I really do. When you consider our situation, especially with people around the world, we are rich. And so rich passages deal with us. We might be in denial because we're thinking, well, wait a minute. I make much less than $100,000 a year. There's people out there making millions and billions. And so those rich passages, that's theirs. That's their problem. Those verses are for them. I believe it's for us. I believe that we're blessed. And I believe that we're rich, especially in the world standards. And so I want us to consider this morning five biblical admonitions concerning our prosperity. Five biblical encouragements to keep riches from the devil using riches to draw us away from God. Because I believe we really are rich, literally. Now, we can find those out there, the Bill Gates and the Warren Buffetts and those people out there, the billionaires, and we might think, well, no, I'm not rich because of all of them. But it's all relative, isn't it? You have to look at your life in comparison to people around the world. And we live like kings. We really do. And so I want us to consider these admonitions because in Ecclesiastes 7:14, Solomon says there is a day of adversity and there's a day of prosperity. And believe me, it doesn't matter what comes. The devil's going to use one or the other to get us. He doesn't care. And so I want us to consider these admonitions because we really do have a lot. We have a lot. We are blessed. And I wish we could all make a trip. And I don't mean a vacation trip. I mean, just go be with some brethren somewhere else in the world. I tell you what, it would be an eye-opener. I wish all of our young people could literally go make a trip somewhere and just see what is really going on around the world. And we would come home thinking, we live like kings. And so what are some admonitions, knowing that the devil can use the day of prosperity just as much as he can use the day of adversity? What are some admonitions? Well, number one, we need to stay humble. Turn with me to Psalm 49. We need to stay humble because the tendency of the rich is to take credit for their prosperity and let it go to their head and look at what I've earned and look at what I owe, what I own, and I worked hard for it and it's mine. And we start getting a little big-headed about it, and it then begins to lead us away from God. We begin to rely on ourselves rather than relying upon God each day. In Psalm 49, if you'll turn with me there, Psalm 49 and verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Notice how trusting in wealth begins to lead to boasting. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, charge them, by the way, that's them in the church, Christians, charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches. We can be high-minded. We've got to be careful about that. Look at Psalm 52 verse 7. Psalm 52 verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Strengthened himself. Look at what I can do. And so we need to be very careful about that kind of thing. Do you remember the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17? I have gotten me riches and I've gotten this and I have need of nothing. And Jesus said, no, you need me. And so there's a tendency, the more we have, there's a tendency to have this self-reliance. Look at what I can do. Look at what I can buy, what I can have. And we begin to leave God out of the picture. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 11. Proverbs 28 and verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. These are general admonitions. Not everybody who's rich is wise in his own conceit, but many of them are. That's what the Proverbs are, general thoughts. And so the tendency is, if we're not careful, to be wise in our own conceits. And we forget that God gave us that. We forget that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, James 1, 17 and 18. We're starting, well, that's my job and my hard work and look at what I got and what I own. And we begin to slowly move towards self and centered on that than on God. God gave us that. God gave us the means to work. God gave us the ability and the mind and the body to work. And God blesses us with these things. We need to stay humble. Charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded. High-minded. What is that? It's the tendency to not be humble. We need to say every day, you know, we are so blessed physically and materially. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that. And we want to use what we have in your service. But it's not us. You gave us that. We need to stay humble. God, the devil can use adversity to draw us away. The famines, the earthquakes, the fires out in California, the tornadoes, things come through and we get robbed of things and we go through this period of adversity. The devil can use that to cause people to fall away from God, but he can also use prosperity. And I wonder if that's what's really happening in this nation. We are so rich that the devil is using the day of prosperity to draw people away from God. And so these biblical admonitions, I believe, are extremely important for us. The first one is stay humble. We need to stay humble. The second one is we need to share it. God doesn't give it to us for me so that I can hoard it up and keep it for myself. Turn with me to a man that I just love in the New Testament, Joseph of Arimathea. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. This man is remarkable. The tendency of the rich is to keep it for themselves. Look at what I have, and I'm going to come home at the end of the day and enjoy what I have. And we need, in fact, Ecclesiastes says to enjoy what we have. But it's not just for us. We need to share it. Open up our homes and other things that we have. Share it with the brethren. Share it with others. We need to be givers. It is more blessed to give than receive. And that's not being taught today. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, 32, in that section there. Joseph of Arimathea, I love this man. We find that when Jesus is taken down off the cross, verse 57, when even was come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was a Jesus disciple. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded it to be given up. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone across the door of the tomb and departed. Jesus, you can have my tomb. Those things were expensive. And it's in the environs of Jerusalem, which made it more expensive. It's just outside the city wall. This is not just some old hole out in the field somewhere. This is an expensive tomb. And Joseph, the scripture says, he was a disciple of Jesus. Here, Lord, you can have what I have. I love what Mark says about him. You turn over to Mark 15. It says that he was a Jewish counselor of honorable estate. And he was a rich man. Look at it. He didn't let his religion keep him from serving Jesus. There were a lot of Jews who didn't follow Jesus. Here's a Jew who said, I believe the Old Testament and Jesus is the Messiah. He's not going to let his religion stand in the way. And then it says he was a counselor of honorable estate. He didn't let his profession and his notoriety in town stay in the way. And he didn't let his riches stay in the way either. Well, I worked hard for this tomb. And I work long nights for this tomb. And I'm going to be buried there. No, Jesus, you can have it. We need to share, brother. And we need to be givers. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul said, charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded. That's the first thing he says. The second thing he says is that they set not their hope on the uncertainty of riches. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But then look at what he says in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to share. Some versions say, mine says distribute, give it away, share your things with others, share what you have with others, and teach our children to do that. Look at verse 19. Why? We are laying up in store a good foundation against the time to come. It's a part of what God is going to look at with regard to our reward in heaven. It's like Jesus saying, laying up treasures in heaven. Has this person been laying up these good works of sharing? Do I see that in their life? The tendency of the rich is to hoard it for themselves. And one reason is, we've worked hard for it. But when we realize that God gives it to us, and that we're simply giving it back to Him, maybe we will let it go. Open up our homes, use our cars, our homes, our food, shelter, clothing, share it with others, let others be part of it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But to do good and to, my version says, communicate, we think, well, like talking back and forth, that's an old English word that means to share or distribute. But to do good and to share or distribute, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He's looking for us to be givers. I love, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I love what we read about here with regard to the needy saints at Jerusalem. Keep in mind that there are people from all over the world coming on the day of Pentecost, and they stay. Well, they came for Pentecost, not to just stay forever. And now we have this church. What about food, shelter, and clothing, and other kinds of needs? Well, the brethren pitch in. Verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them said that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. Now this is mine. And you people who came for the day of Pentecost, you're just, good luck with that. No, here, you can have what is mine. And that needs to be our attitude. But they had all things in common. And they brought their things and so forth, verse 35, and laid them at the apostles' feet. At the apostles' feet, excuse me, and distribution, sharing, again, was made unto each according as any one had need. And Joseph, here's another Joseph I like. You got Joseph of Arimathea, who's got a tomb. Jesus, you can have it. And here's Joseph of Arimathea, who's got a field. Oh, I'm going to sell that, take that money, so that brethren can have it. Let's be sharers. We can't take it with us. We can't take it with us. We brought nothing into this life. We can take nothing out. Why not share it while we're here? Number three, the third biblical admonition is that of don't idolize things. Don't bow down to the almighty dollar. The tendency of the rich is to focus on their prosperity and not on their soul. Turn with me to Psalm 62 and verse 10. Well, I got to work to make money, and I got to buy things, and I got to pay off the credit card, and I've got to buy this, and I've got to buy that. And while we're spending 40 plus hours a week doing that, we're neglecting our soul. So I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying. I'm not attending the church services. Why? Well, I've got to work, you see. Well, we have to work, but we have to keep it in balance. And we can't neglect our soul. In Psalm 62, in verse 10, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart thereon. Underscore that. If you get more, that's great. But don't set your heart on that. If we get more, well, that's more that we can share. And that's more that we can stay humble with. But the more we get, underscore that in your Bible, if riches increase, and I believe we all prosper more as the years go on, set not your heart thereon. That's not what our focus is. And yet, that's what it is with so many people. My cars and my things and my retirement money and my this. And so we begin to think more about that than taking care of our spiritual needs. Isn't that what happened to the rich farmer in Luke 12? The problem was not the building barns and bigger barns because he got more crops. The Lord blessed him with that. The problem was the last verse. He wasn't rich toward God. His soul was not right with God. He was focused on his material things and he had lost sight of his soul. Proverbs 11 and verse 28. Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as the green leaf. What are we focusing on? We need to leave the Lord's day open for the Lord. We need to leave our life open for the gospel meeting, for spiritual things. That's more important than material things. And it's so easy to get caught up. What about the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man and Lazarus. In Luke 16, 19, he fared sumptuously every day, but he didn't take care of his soul. And so when it comes time to die, he goes off into torment. But he had all these, he could dress the way he wanted and he could buy things. He wasn't caring for his soul. And now he's in torment. And that's the tendency with riches, is that we begin to focus more on that and we let the others slip. What did Mordecai do when he got his family and friends together? Read Esther 5:11. He got his family and friends together so that he could tell them all the things that he had. Well, isn't that nice? Let me tell you what I've gotten in my life and what I own and what I have. But look at what kind of a man Haman was. What about the rich young ruler? He's rich. But when Jesus said, here's how you take care of your soul. No, I don't want that. So he walked away sorrowful. Paul said, charge them that are rich, number one, to be not high-minded. Now look at the second thing that he says there. Nor to have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. That's where our focus needs to be. Does that mean we get up each day and we just completely ignore physical things? No, but we don't idolize them. They're not our God. Well, I just have to do this. No, we don't. God is first. That's where our hope is. This other is secondary. It's gotten flip-flopped, and the devil has gotten to flip-flop it to where what's important now is the physical things and the work to get the physical things, and we might work God in there somewhere, may or may not. In Revelation chapter 18 and verse 3, we recently went through this study. Rome and those who were infatuated with Rome and all that kind of thing, they were drunk on the riches and the money of Rome. And they were drunk on that. For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication, all the nations are fallen. And the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness, but they wouldn't take care of their soul. We can have money in Rome. And you could at that time. We can make money in Rome. But they're lost. And it's like this drunken infatuation where your eyes are just on that idol of money. And we won't take time to follow God and to serve God. Don't idolize those things. Keep it in perspective. It is what it is, but it's not as important as what God wants for me and my life. A fourth admonition is be happy and content. Americans can be some of the richest people and some of the most discontent people. And I believe we've all caught ourselves doing this. I believe we've all been guilty of complaining about something. And it involves some of our prosperity. I don't know how long ago it was. Several months back, my phone was acting up and I was all, oh, this is terrible. It's just terrible. This thing's not working right. Half the world doesn't even have one of those things. And it resolved itself after a little while. You see, just we have so much, and then we're still unhappy. So we've got to be careful about that. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We have to remain content. We have to remain happy. One thing the devil can do is he can, in all of this stuff that we have, he can get us to be discontent and unhappy, and it causes problems in marriage and in the home and our lives. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, notice God gives it, it's in a good way, it's a proper way, and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not remember much the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. We have to remain happy and content and focused on God and thankful, because the tendency of the rich is still to complain. And I'm sure we've all done it. And it's hard not to. But we have to stay focused on what is right and good. Turn with me to Psalm 144. In the days when the psalmist wrote this, wealth was numbered in how many flocks you have. This wouldn't make a lot of sense for us today. We don't measure ourselves in how many animals we have. But at this time they did. And so we find here that here's a person just full of animals and that type of thing. Psalm 144:12, when our sons shall be as plants grown up in their youth, our daughters as cornerstones hewn after the fashion of a palace. Beautiful, holy, pure daughters, strong sons. When our garners are full, affording all manner of store, all kinds of food, our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands of our fields. When our oxen are well laden, and when there's no breaking in and no going forth and no outcry in the streets, happy is the people that is in such a case. Happy. Happy. And we need to be content. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We can't take anything with us. We brought nothing into this world. We take nothing out. What we've got to focus on is godly living and being happy and serving the Lord each day. And it's hard for us sometimes because we forget that. And then we start complaining about the thing with the house and the thing with the car and the thing with the cell phone and so forth. We all need to be reminded. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall therewith be content. Godliness with contentment. That's what God wants for us each day. And what happens is the unhappy discontentment and the murmuring and the complaining, not only does it violate Philippians 2:14, but it takes us away from a godly living. And then last of all, one last principle, and that is we need to remember God each day. The tendency is to forget about God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm impressed in the book of Deuteronomy, not one time, not two times, but three different times in the book of Deuteronomy, right before Israel goes into the land of Canaan, God admonishes them that you're going to get over there and you're going to have a nice place to live. And you're going to have a nice piece of land, and you're going to have houses and all of these things. But don't forget me. And it's great that we live in a country where we are, I believe physically we are richly blessed. And I believe these rich passages apply to us. But let us not forget God. Let us not forget to pray and teach our young people to pray. And we're going to read the Bible together. And we're going to be at church services together. And we're going to remember God in our lives. It's not about things. That's secondary. It's about God. And when you get over there, don't forget about me. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Only take heed. God wouldn't say this if it weren't in man to do it. It's natural in man to get out and when we have all these things to forget God. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw. That is me bringing you out of Egypt and all of those things. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But make them known unto thy children and thy children. Children. Verse 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of our Jehovah, which He made with you. We begin to forget God and God's Word. We're spending more time with things, and we're not reading our Bibles and what God's Word says. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. And it shall be when Jehovah thy God shall bring thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things. Do we have that? We go home to that. We go home to houses full of all good things, you see, which thou fillest not, and cisterns hewn which you did not hew, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Then beware lest thou forget Jehovah who brought thee out of the land. And I believe that that's one of the major problems that's happening in our country today. We're just forgetting about God. Hey, man, we've got the Super Bowl, and we've got money and jobs and things. And brethren canceling services so that we can watch the Super Bowl. Number two. Let's not forget about God's work. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. There's a work of the local church that is to be done. Let's not forget about that. We need, with our free will offering on the first day of the week, and with our time and our talents, to keep doing the Lord's work. Many are so consumed with the things of this life that they're not taking time for the Lord's work. In Mark chapter 12, when Jesus saw people casting things into the treasury was for the Jew to go put his money into, and that was to take care of the temple and the things of the sacrifices. It was called the temple tax or the treasury tax. And people are casting money into it, and the rich were giving it just of their excess, just skimming off the top. Here's a few coins, Lord, and then they would walk on. But this widow, she gave all that she had. Two little coins, but it was all that she had. She deeply sacrificed. Everybody else was, here's a little bit, Lord. You know, take care of that temple. We have to remember the Lord's work. And then finally, we have to remember God's Word. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, in the parable of the sower, one of the things that chokes out the Word of God is what? The cares of this life and what? Riches. It chokes out the Word, and it doesn't work in our life. And I don't really need to obey God's Word, because when the sermon's over with, I get to go home to my things. You know, I'm not going to be hurting in any way. Well, the word didn't work. The word didn't get in and work. And so people don't respond to the gospel, or they don't change in some way. The word is not getting in because our mind is on things that we have and what we're going to go do later in the day and all that kind of thing. So the word doesn't get in. And so Jesus said there in verse 22, "He that was sown among the thorns, that is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." It's like being choked out. And so the lesson is yours. Number one, stay humble. We're blessed. I believe we are rich, really, especially by the world standards. Stay humble. Number two, share it. Give it away. It is more blessed to give than receive. Share. Don't idolize things. I'm fearful that brethren are idolizing money and jobs and things like that, and you can see it. Be happy and content. And then last of all, don't forget God. The blessings that He gives us, the work that we're supposed to be doing, and His word in our lives. The problem is not with riches per se. Abraham was rich, but he was faithful to God. He's described as a rich man with all of his flocks in Genesis 32 and verse 2. Joseph of Arimathea was rich, but he was a follower of Jesus. Zacchaeus was a rich man, and he let Jesus come into his home, and he did what Jesus said. The problem is not with our wealth and prosperity. It's that the devil gets us to fall away from God with it. We can be rich and prosperous in the day of prosperity and faithful too. Yeah. Yeah, the devil can use adversity to get us to fall away. He tried that with Job. It didn't work. Job remained strong. But the devil can also use prosperity. And he's trying to do that with us and others here in this country, a very prosperous country. Will we be faithful? Will we be obedient to God? Let's let nothing, the day of adversity or the day of prosperity, stand in our way to serving God. And if we can encourage you to make your life right in some way, you're going to come focusing on the forgiveness of sins, your soul. That's what's important. Not what we have, but who we are. Not what we own, but what's inside of us. We're going to come and make our soul right with God. As an erring child of God, if we need to come back in some way, I think about Simon the sorcerer. Think about Simon the sorcerer. Your money perish with you. Your heart is not right with God. Some people are focused on money and things and what they can buy, and they're not focused on their soul. If we can encourage you, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?